All right. Hi again, everybody. Thanks to everybody in the room for being here. Thanks to everybody online. We'll go ahead and get started here. we're here for staff council meeting number 279. We will call to order. And Nicole, would you like to take a look? Everybody hear me? Anybody cannot hear me? Just raise your hand. Yeah, good with that. All right. Thank you.
Nate?
Present.
Yeah.
Present.
Chad? Teresa? Carrie? Present. Brianna? Here. Leslie? Alda? Here. Jill? Joseph? Jesse? Joe? Yes. Sue?
Yes.
Suzanne? Suzanne, Wendy? Thanks, Wendy. Chris? That's Chris online.
Yep.
Jane? Matthew? Valerie Rickert, crossing for Katie Miller. China, here. Kathy. Susie. John.
Here.
Jessica Armstrong, present. Henry Nelson, present. Kira X, here. Jean, Jack Allen, Kimberly Mason, Alexander, oh, thank you. Nina, Janelle. Amanda, here. Alyssa, thank you, Alyssa. Ella Ray, here. Karina,
yes.
Anybody see me give a call? Forum is met.
Terrific. Thanks, Nicole. We have a couple of administrative items to breeze through quickly here at the beginning, and then you know, I would note we're right up on 9:10. So Vice Chancellor Carter Burrell is here for report from the Chancellor's office, and so we'll move into that. We'll shift things around if that's okay. So first item we're looking for, we have agenda items here. We're looking for approval of the agenda. I'm going to entertain a motion to approve. Okay, let's go have a second. Very good. Any discussion, any edits, additions to the agenda for today's meeting? Okay. Hearing none. We have an agenda. We also have minutes from last meeting. I'm going to entertain a motion to approve the minutes from meeting number 278. Thank you. Second. Thank you. All right. Very good. And we also have safety slash green dot minute. Does anybody have anything they'd like to offer regarding green dot? Or I would just note for everybody, since we do have some new members, that emergency evacuation is right through the doors to the left, out these main doors here, and congregate by the bus stop out there by the warming hut. I think that's all. I think that's sufficient. Okay. So like I said, if there's no objections, I'd like to move straight to the Chancellor's remarks. We have Clark Burrell. Thanks for being here.
Good morning, everyone. Sorry, I had a difficult one this morning. I'm losing it. Okay, so Chancellor Thomas is out this week. He's taking 1 week to have a session on the 24th. Just wanted to update you on a few things that have gone on. some of the bigger things. And then two questions we have from the end. The first thing that I wanted to update you on is there was a few of our bigger recruitments that we're working on. So the first recruitment that we're working on is the Chancellor Search itself. Chancellor Thomas is here. This contract runs through June 30th, and so we are in the process of recruiting for a new chancellor. Nate serves on that committee as a 16-member committee. The status of that right now is when we posted the position, we told folks that the first consideration or best consideration, I think is the word that we use, applications should be turned in by March 1st, which was Wednesday last week. And so right now the committee is taking a look at the applications that we've received to date. And they plan to meet Friday this week to run through the applications that we have and rank order the ones that they think they would like to invite for interviews. And we'll decide at that point whether we have a DMS school to move forward with. So we're in process. Assuming that we do have a DMS school at this stage, interviews will be scheduled for the first round of interviews will be scheduled for the weekend of the 1st and 2nd of April. That will not be the time when candidates get to set eyes on candidates, but just the committee to do a first round of interviews. Then after that weekend, assuming those interviews go well, the committee will select finalists and will try to go finalists on campus the last week of April so that the on-campus before faculty and students will be at the end of the semester. That's where we are with the Chancellor search. We're also searching for a Vice Chancellor for Student Affairs. Right now, Gary Gray is interim in that role, and we have a search underway. We had a fairly quick turnaround on that one. They wanted to have applications in by February 6th. The committee took a look at those and decided that they did not have a deep enough pool. And so we are pausing that search right now. We are engaging a search firm, a national search firm, to help us with that search. And I believe we signed a contract with that firm last week, but I don't believe that they've got much going yet. So hopefully in the next couple of weeks they'll ramp up. And again, hoping that we can really get at least first round interviews done before folks meet at the end of the semester. And then the last search that folks might be interested in, we were searching for a new director of diversity and equal opportunity. That office is responsible for a number of things on campus, including Title IX compliance, but also other equity issues, responsible for visibility, our services for employees who have disabilities and reasonable accommodation. So that position has been interesting for last summer. The chance that appointed Margot Griffin to that, and she actually is starting today to get her first day in that role. So those are the searches. I want to switch gears and talk about budget real quickly. We don't know really yet what the legislature is going to do in terms of the budget, and that's the biggest question mark for our budget every year is how much state funding do we get. Our other major funding sources for our budget are tuition and the money that we bring in grants and contracts. And the grants and contracts have been very stable and actually increasing with a touch. And then tuition has been, unfortunately, our enrollments are declining, but with the tuition increases that the board has approved, we are basically holding even on our tuition revenues. The question mark really is around our state funding. The governor proposed in December a flat funding budget for the university, meaning we would not receive less funding, but we would not receive more. In the context of what's going on at the state, it's good news for us. However, it does still mean that we need to make some cuts internally. If we get that flat budget, we still need to have a fixed cost that is going up, and we have some unexpected costs that we got. And so we are at a flat budget, looking at about, if we had to do it across the board, which is problematical to do, it's about 5% across the board. So it's not small. Right now, the House is looking at continuing that proposal that they would propose funding to the university similar to what the governor proposed. The Senate, however, is proposing or looking at a potential 5% reduction. That would be on top of our fixed cost. We're estimating about a 9 to 10% possible reduction for the university. That would be much more serious for us given the cuts we've taken so far over the last 4 years. So the chancellor asked the provost and the vice chancellor to start planning for the government budget level, which is at 5% reduction level. And he had asked that we get him our proposals by March 15th, just a first thought about where we go. We have to take some tests at that level, and then he'll start taking a look at, you know, if he's going to be here eligible for election in a year or no longer be here. But we will make some decisions based on that first round of input that we give him. I did want to say that the planning and budget committee will be reconstituted. I believe staff council has a couple of positions on that planning and budget committee. So if you haven't already nominated your members, then you can have a week of it. So that will be gearing up and kicking off pretty soon. And then, two more things. Strategic pathways, I think you're probably fairly up to speed on that. It's going to be a year-long process. It's got three phases to it. We're really in phase two, where we've taken a look at eight new areas. Those areas have gone out for the options have been identified and have gone out for public comment. And at the board meeting last week, the president signaled to the board where he was, when he said leaning, so it was the first thought for where he would go. And he wanted to give that signal to the board and have them hear it, ask some questions, but then also have all the universities and our stakeholders hear what he's leaning right now so that we could spend the next few months really analyzing that and getting him some more feedback. The other thing that's a little bit different, well, so we're doing a couple things different this time. He is slowing the process down. He's spending more time and taking input. And so we had, last month, we had met with nine different groups on our campus to get input. He will be coming back again in this month to get additional rounds of input. But he's also thinking about contacting for process and analysis of these options. That was new and different this time. And then the last thing I wanted to mention, the chancellor has let you know that he is looking at a volunteer day proposal. He would like to have something in place for the fall. However, he is still thinking about maybe making some modifications to your proposal, and so I'm hoping next month we'll come back to you with here's the chancellor's accepted the proposal with these modifications and what that looks like. And just to give you a quick preview, the thing that he's mulling a little bit is whether, I think the goal behind this was really to try to show community engagement that the university is part of the community. He's thinking that we might be more effective in doing that if we concentrated our efforts to a particular day or a particular set of volunteer activities. And so we're trying to think of how to do that. We have a lot of employees, but how to have the biggest impact to what we're doing and not being spread all over the place. And so that's what he's thinking about right now. So I think those are the bigger updates from the chancellor's office. And with that, I'll take any questions or comments that folks might have if you're thinking to be working on something that we're not on now.
Thanks, Clay. Anybody, I'll start online. Anybody online have questions for the vice chancellor? Chris, I see you there. Just make sure you're not muted. We can't hear you. Yeah, it looks like there's volume coming through. Chris, we're going to try and get the audio figured out, but if it's not too much of a burden, maybe if you put your question in the message window, it might be quickest. Oh, very good. Okay, I see the question there. Thank you. So, unexpected costs, perhaps, yeah.
Well, for us, some of the costs that are coming out of strategic pathways are things that we haven't anticipated, and I'm not sure how well known this is, but the chancellor last year had thought that we would make some reductions in the area of athletics, and the board came back and said we will not make any reductions in athletics, we will fund everything the way that it is now, and so we had actually reduced our budget in that regard, and so we're going to have to work through our funding for that. So that's the biggest one. The other thing that is hanging out there, I wouldn't call it unexpected, it's just unknown at this point, is we have three bargaining groups going through collective bargaining, UNAC, which is the biggest faculty union, and 60-70, which is a class and trade union. And then the adjunct union is also bargaining, and then actually starting this summer we'll have the firefighters come back. So we don't know until bargaining is concluded whether there'll be some additional costs in our work coming up.
Understood, thank you. Anybody else online? Okay, how about in the room? Any questions for Mr. Sobel? Thanks very much for being here. All right, everybody, we'll move back up to our pending actions. These are both kind of still moving. I don't think that there's anything we need to do today to address item A or B. I would just reiterate that that's moving through staff alliance. There, you know, we had clear support for it here, and that's something that alliance at the system wide level is taking up now, based on the conversations and the text of the resolution from staff council. I anticipate support for that at alliance as well. And then item B, as Vice Chancellor Burrell just indicated, that proposal is with the Chancellor's office currently, and we anticipate support of that even in a modified form. I guess I would note that some of the modifications that the Chancellor, I think, is looking for were initially part of the first proposal forms that we had all the way back, over a year ago when it first came through this body. So I don't anticipate a lot of tension there. I think that will be fine. I think that we're just awaiting that. I would just, I would hope that we could move fairly quickly if the Chancellor comes back to us with some modifications in April. Okay. With that, any questions about either of those? Okay. Thanks very much. We'll move on to public comment. Is there anyone here for public comment? Okay. Hearing none, I will also note that thanks to Nicole for starting the staff achievements and highlights section. It's been a while since we've had anything there. There's some good notes regarding Stephen Ray Ward from Facilities. I think a lot of us know Ray. He's recognized, inducted into the Fairbanks Hockey Hall of Fame Lifetime Achievement Award. So congratulations to Ray, and thanks for those who nominated him or noted Ray's achievement. And then also Carolyn Chapin and other CNSN staff for the Cosmos program. They hosted Careers of Science and Math Opportunity Summit, and saved here for over 100 local high school students at the Neely Building on February 4th. So congratulations and thanks to everybody. Any other notes or comments about either of those? Sue?
Thanks to Robert Green,
the
successfully launched three rockets from Wednesday night. And that's the completion of the season by four rockets total season. And they have part of the program, and
terrific. Congratulations. I know you played a huge part in both of those too, so good for you. Good luck. Okay. Any questions, any comments, any other highlights? All right, we'll move into officers' reports. I'm going to be right back, but I would invite you to
Start. Oh, yeah. Sure. Good morning. Is my mic on? No? Okay. How about now? Is it better? Good morning. Can everyone, is it coming on at all? Nicole, can you come look at this button? Is it supposed to be for this to sit down? Should it be that way or that way? Okay, how about, is this better? Oh, right. Okay. Good morning. I'm actually going to be very brief. I think Kari spoke to many of the items that I had on my officer report. but I did want to mention two things. One, Jean Harvey is retiring from her position as Faculty Senate Coordinator and North Governance Office Manager. We will have, I believe, two staff council positions on that search committee, and Nate and I sent our recommendations to Chancellor Thomas already, so you may be contacted to sit on that search committee. And then the second thing I wanted to mention was the Office of Civil Rights Compliance Review, which came out last week. I just wanted to draw a little bit of attention to it. For some people, it was impacted their work very much, especially if they work in someone facing positions with injustice with students, like it works for our office. The OCR Compliance Review is a three-year compliance review by the Office of Civil Rights. Everybody can learn of sexual assault and sexual harassment in women on campus. The letter of findings was released, and I just want to point out that if you'd like to read the full report, it is not on our UAS Title IX website, it's on the statewide website, so it's alaska.edu/Title IX compliance, the 50-page report. I've read most of it, it's hard to read, but again, I would encourage you, particularly if you're working in any sort of partner facing position, to read it and be familiar with it. Just going to do a few quick things and I'll move on. So the OCR determined that the system violated Title IX with respect to its response to sexual harassment complaints, including complaints of sexual assault and sexual violence. I met with Lorena College, she met with my team, which is just general information about the failure to conduct a complete investigation, particularly one of the chief reasons in the report was the amount of time it took to conduct investigation. And leadership within that touched all Minnesota's in the world, the district court has completely changed. I don't believe anyone involved in any of these violations is still in their position any longer. But one of the conditions that Laura talked with us about was that they were under the impression that the complete legal investigation needed to be concluded before we could begin our investigation. And that isn't true. They can run parallel. So that was a misunderstanding on the part of our organization, and one of the reasons why we were in violation, and why we need the report. You'll read, 151 days later, we got involved. That gets really hard to read. So just real quick, the solution, they designated a senior Title IX administrator who will oversee the team's efforts to comply with and carry out Title IX responsibilities, and Mary Dowell was named the chief Title IX officer. She's the former state legislator in enrollment strategy. And as Cara mentioned, the director of equal opportunity and diversity was named, Martha Griffith. So we have new leadership there. In addition, the letter of findings recommended revised victims grievance procedure for addressing complaints alleging discrimination on the basis of sex to ensure that they are not unduly complicated, written in a way that is easily understood, easily locatable, and otherwise complied with Title IX, and removing any references to old non-compliant procedures. So I just wanted to make sure that was on everyone's radar. If it wasn't, the punishment that came out, and I would encourage you to report and be aware.
Thanks, Mara. Appreciate that. So I have a few things. I'll try and be brief. First of all, I would just like to say, give some special thanks to Samara and Nicole both. I think really have provided a lot of good hard work and leadership there. A lot of my time over the last couple of weeks, over the last month since our last meeting, has been working at kind of the system staff governance level, and so some of the slack, I think a lot of the slack has been picked up by Nicole and Samara, so thanks to both of them. In regard to system-wide issues, I was at the Board of Regents meeting last week, and there were a couple of items in particular that warranted some attention from staff, the first of which, as Troy Burrell mentioned, there have been some developments since our last meeting with regard to strategic pathways. We're still in the open feedback period for the phase two, for those eight review areas. I think feedback is ongoing. There's still an open feedback form on the pathways website. If you'd like to give that input directly to the president's team. We're also coordinating, still in the process of coordinating formal feedback from staff governance to the president's office. That one difference between our last council meeting on this one is that we've actually now been contacted at system-wide level to provide coordinated feedback from staff. So that means that staff alliance will be providing in the very near term, within the next week or so, coordinated feedback. And so what that means for us, and we can get into this a little bit later in the meeting, but what that means for us is that we have the opportunity to provide some clear and targeted feedback on each one of these phase two review areas to the president's office through that staff alliance report. So I look forward to that discussion. We have a file that we've kind of been using to collect some staff council feedback, but I would like that conversation to be a little bit more active. The second thing at the board meeting that I and Colby and Chris all participated in was a special agenda item regarding shared governance across the University of Alaska system. And I would just observe that I think that this discussion was originally Regent O'Neill, who's the chair of the board, brought this up for a conversation at the Board of Regents retreat, I think in January, which happened to be in between the time of the no confidence votes at UAA and UAF. And I guess I would just observe that I think this agenda item was prompted by those votes and the publicity that they received. It was the president offered a presentation to the Board of Regents regarding the way that he views shared governance. I think that that was in some ways helpful, in some ways not. I mean, I think that there was a little bit of dissonance regarding how much and how involved our governance groups were in the conversations that preceded or framed the agenda item at the board meeting. But I would also say that the conversation was, I think, productive. There are clearly differences of opinion on the board amongst the regents about what shared governance means and what it should mean. But the results of those conversations, while they didn't fully embrace, for example, the proposal from the Faculty Alliance Chair, Sarah Smith, that had proposed an ex officio faculty member on the seats on the Board of Regents, they didn't embrace that proposal, but they have both the president, who is indicated that he's considering broadening his summit team at the statewide set of advisors to him and his office to include governance representatives, and also expanding the time and space that we have at the beginning of each Board of Regents meetings from simply a report to a broader and, I think, more in-depth discussion into issues that are facing staff, faculty, and students across the university system. So I guess the way that I think about that is potentially having a discussion like we did through the special agenda item about governance issues, having an opportunity to have similar discussions at the beginning of each full Board of Regents meeting. So I consider those positive, and I consider those to have positive potential. I think that there's still quite a bit of work to do to get on the same page, and some of that, I'm not sure that's ever going to be completely possible, but I think that it was a discussion that was worth having, and I guess from my perspective personally, it was alarming to me to have a discussion like that again without the full sort of advisement and consultation in preparation for the meeting from the governance groups. But I guess it could have gone worse, is my perspective. Vice Chancellor mentioned the chancellor search. We are, as she mentioned, we're in the, we have a list of applicants as of March 1st. We're on a, I think each one of the members of the committee has been asked to provide, their interpretations and impressions of each of those candidates. Working through to get a list of interviewees, and I think that there will be a lot of activity on that. We have a meeting this week, this Thursday, in which I think we'll come out of that with sort of a ranked list, and meet from there to try and begin interviews. I have a few other things, but I think that we'll probably have a chance to cover them elsewhere on the agenda. So I think I'll probably end there, and if anybody has any questions for me or for Samara, I would be happy to take them. Anybody in the room or online? Okay. Well, I see we have Colby and Chris here both, so I think with that we'll move to governance reports. Colby, would you like to start? Any questions for Colby? Is he there? Thanks very much, Colby. Appreciate you being here. Yeah, Chris Brown, go back to the front. Thanks, Chris.
Here, I don't know any college courses that are actually We don't have a good control policy, and so I would take the message of what you would be providing, but for example, the board, I would have to agree with comments shared governance discussing what's done, what's performing, and what. It wasn't even just Josh Green's view of shared government, it was really a view of general counsel's definition of shared government, complete in nature and form. We want to hear about our role in the university, which is largely for our input, and they're taking some of that. I think it's a real nice comment about communication as to a process, and I'd like to credit for that. In that sense, I think they do hear our input, but there's very little communication from that. There's very little rationale for making these difficult decisions and how these long-term strategic goals that provide a major group of academic outcomes and relieve pressure on the budget is difficult to see necessarily how this will happen and how this will help us in the very near term, which is really where our budget problem is. Right now, how it wants to understand the budget. The response to the proposal for an ex officio faculty member on the board was what they thought was rather tepid. And that effort is largely being driven by Jeff Edwards, she was going to be actively involved in contacting the legislature. So maybe not all very smart for both of you, but in the meantime, I would recommend contacting the board at the opportunities we have, including statewide leadership, and asking questions about how is UC accomplished, how are these outcomes actually going to benefit the university, particularly in regards to the short term and long term challenges that we have. But I think that's all I'm going to say this week. So,
yeah.
So those did actually meet with our colleagues at UNA and really asked to that question right on my workforce and our concerns and all the travel on the country. So even though we didn't know it, we might, UNA anyway, in particular, went to have work of some sort. But when we come down to actually interacting with our colleagues, it's very productive and collegial, and that is very useful.
Yeah, I would echo that, Chris. I think that's been perhaps an unintended, perhaps intended consequence of this kind of larger pathways process is bringing more people together, like from the different NAUs and campuses, especially. To I think from my perspective, at least, those have been mostly positive connections. Thank you for that. There's a lot there. I wonder if anybody has any questions for Chris. Either in the room or online. Thanks very much for being here, Chris. I appreciate it. All right, guys. I want to say thanks again for the patience earlier in the meeting. We have made up a little bit of time. It's 10 till 10 right now, so we'll take a break, we'll try and be back here by 10 o'clock. Thanks. All right, guys. Thanks. Let's reconvene here and get back into it. We have an agenda item coming up here, I think, that's going to take a disproportionate amount of time, so I want to make sure that we have give it as much attention as it needs. Okay. Yeah, can I just get another confirmation again from the folks online that you can hear us all right? Terrific, thank you. All right, let's move into unfinished business. Item A, staff mentoring. As we've discussed in the past, this is kind of an ongoing topic for discussion. I would definitely encourage anybody that has thoughts or feelings about staff mentoring to contact either the officers here or the advocacy committee. This is an item that initially came from advocacy, and I think that it is something that has a large effect across not just UAS, but the entire system, university system. As a result, I think it gets touched on, especially in regard to the recent employee engagement survey at UAF and also the morale surveys. I think that mentoring is frequently a proposed solution to some of the increased mentoring, increased formalization of mentoring programs. I think that is frequently a proposal to address some of the morale issues that are very clearly apparent across all of the campuses in the system. So I guess I would just note that is a component of both the UAF-wide and system-wide and staff alliance responses to deficiencies in morale, and I think it will continue to be in the near future. Any questions or thoughts about mentoring? I would note that there are departments, like going back to my involvement with the advocacy committee, when this initially became an agenda item for us, there are departments where I think mentoring works really well. I think that there are programs and communities around campus that have effective cultures of mentoring that goes on for staff, faculty, and students. There are also places where it's very clearly deficient. And so I think that establishing some consistency, I know that it's kind of a tough thing to figure out, because I think for mentoring to really work in a satisfying way, there needs to be some level of kind of organic development between, regarding relationships with people. And I'm not sure mentoring as a concept works as well when it's like you get assigned, a particular person to either be your mentor or mentee. So finding a balance between, formalizing it to ensure that there's consistency and fairness and everybody has the same level or similar levels to levels of access for mentors, but also leaving some space, I think, for that culture to kind of develop on its own. So I think that that's something that we're always kind of struggling to find. So again, if anybody has any thoughts about that or have experiences to share, either positive or negative, things that approaches that can be effective and can be applied on a larger scale or things to try and avoid. I think that's something that I certainly think and thinking about in an ongoing way. I think it probably applies to SMAR and certainly the advocacy committee too. So feel free to reach out about that. Any thoughts or questions about that right now?
I just want to add, I agree that I think it's a really organic process. I think trying to manufacture mentorship relationships is sort of setting yourself up for failure, because those relationships go naturally over time. But one thing that was brought up, and I can't remember who brought it up in the executive board, was having folks sort of opt in or have a place where there's power users for certain things on campus. For example, the banner, where you could be a group of people who you can just ask questions up quickly, so you don't have to bother people in the department and forming mentorship relationships that way. So I don't know about you, but I might be working in banner and I'm trying to remember just one thing. And I know the one person in my office who might be the expert or busy, like knowing that there would be a group or some kind of, I don't know how it would be set up in terms of a forum or what the details of that don't matter, but having a group that could quickly respond to, like, oh, guys, it's so difficult. That's where you need to get on and I just finish my work. I think that could be really, really helpful since we are kind of cut to the bone and a lot of us are kind of scrambling. So just give this information that kind of blocks the work we're doing. So show resources in that way. I think, and I think for the chair that felt better with the executive board. Yeah. Oh, hello. Okay. So, I'm sorry, I think you're going to do that.
Thanks. Yeah, well said. All right. If there are no other questions about that, we'll move on to item B. This is one that the Vice Chancellor brought up. As I noted earlier, this is with the Chancellor. I think that, like I said, I think that there is, you know, not really funny, but you know, just kind of something notable to just, you know, this proposal, for those of you that haven't been around staff council for the last couple of years, it's gone back and forth. I mean, there's been, depending on who has been in the chancellor's office, depending on who has been on our advocacy committee, I just think that there's been some fluctuation in terms of, like, how specific should we be. I mean, I think that sometimes that, I guess, a lesson in government and in negotiation and that sort of thing, but you know, I think we started out thinking that it was worthwhile to provide some specifics because that presented a clearer picture of the kind of vision and approach we wanted to take, and you know, that was definitely a way of capturing all the good and hard and serious work and thinking about what would a successful staff volunteer day look like. You know, and these are conversations that had happened across months and years, not just at the UAF level, but also, again, at the Alliance level and back up and down. And so there have just been a number of different ways to try and approach this. None have been met with, you know, widespread and universal agreement and acclaim on the part of, you know, leadership. But there have been some approaches and strategies that have, you know, moved fairly far and fairly quickly. And one of those made it all the way through Chancellor Ryan Rogers' approval process. And we had a signed volunteer day proposal that was, you know, in the process of being implemented before Chancellor Rogers retired. And so since then, it's been a little bit of a struggle to try and get it back up to that level where there's support not just from the Chancellor himself, but also, you know, his cabinet and core cabinet groups, because I think regardless of what the proposal looks like, they will be, I think a lot of those people will be involved in the implementation of it and making sure it succeeds. So we certainly want to have their support, we need their support for it to be a viable large-scale effort, which I think we want it to be. And so now it seems like it's kind of gone back to the other side where they're asking for more, I think, detail and concentration in terms of how it's actually pulled off. So, you know, I think we had kind of moved back, and Kara, I would invite you to jump in at any point if you want, but we had kind of moved back, I think, to being more general with things and allowing the Chancellor and his team to insert the detail that they kind of wish to see. It seems like now they're asking for some of those modifications to be codified in the proposal. So that seems fine with me. I think that there's probably, we have good thoughts and agreements about what that should look like. But again, if this is something that the Chancellor is saying, as Kari said, if this is something that they're looking to bring back to us in April and they want to make sure that it's in place by the time the interim chancellor turns that job over, so that we can have it ready for the fall. It seems like we may need to move fairly quickly with the approval process from our end to get it done by May. So just putting that on people's radar for next time. Okay. Item C. There are a few things that I think we kind of need to discuss and get on the same page with here. As I appreciate Nicole's message from the end of the week last week. As I noted in the email this morning, there was additional discussion and additional details provided by President Johnson at the Board of Regents meeting last Thursday. I think that is broken down in a little bit more particular detail than we anticipated. I think that initially he had just indicated that what his presentation of the board would be is basically just eliminating any options that he didn't think were good. I think in addition to that, he did some of that on Thursday, but he also provided some, initial kind of positions and directions to be leaning in terms of what he does think is viable, or he does think is appealing to him. That's relevant, obviously, and so we have a document that I think has been shared widely across this group that identifies from our last meeting, from a staff position, at least kind of initial thoughts and conversations, results of thoughts and conversations that I've engaged with individual staff members about. I want that to be as widespread as possible, and I understand that we probably will not get input and feedback from every single staff constituent that you represent, but at the very least, I want to make sure that for the staff people, we have broad and diverse expertise in this group. And so for anyone who is in a unit or whose job and expertise is relevant to any of these review areas or phase two, I want to encourage really strongly for you to offer, I think, your perspective here. So that file, we can share it again. It's a Google Doc. I think it's open for edits and revisions by anybody, and I would encourage people to either insert comments or provide edits directly to the documents. This is something, like I said before, that I want to use as a primary tool to craft and drive the alliance, the staff alliance, system-wide staff response, to Vice President Dan White, who sought out our feedback in a formal way, which I appreciate and represents another one of these positive changes that we've seen from the first phase of strategic pathways to the second phase. I want to make sure we take more advantage of that and demonstrate that we have conducted a rigorous kind of collection of perspectives. Because staff, one thing that I think makes me feel good, I cite it as often as I can, that distinguishes staff as a group, perhaps even from students and faculty, is that our expertise, our background, our experiences, our functions through the university differ very widely. We do a bunch of different things for the university, and our experiences are all different. And from our perspective, what we need and what the university needs and what students need in order to succeed, I think that we have a very clear and complex view of what those things are. So I want to make sure that that's reflected in our response to pathways. And one other thing, and then I'm just going to open it up kind of for discussion here. One other thing that I think just needs to be said, I think it too often goes unsaid, is that when the university is talking about cuts and major changes in terms of structure, in terms of spending, the what ends up being the clearest and quickest way to achieve those diminished needs and resources are eliminations of the staff positions. I think that that's the quickest and easiest way to accomplish what the university needs to accomplish in many cases. And so there is a priority, I think, should be and is on behalf of staff council on making sure that staff are treated fairly and with respect, and that our voices are heard. Because as Cardwell noted, there and Chris, there are eliminating an academic program is one thing, and perhaps in the long term that's one way to achieve a smaller budget. But that takes time. It's written into our accreditation that that can't be done immediately, and they need to be teach out periods and that sort of thing. So even if you know, even though faculty positions tend to be more expensive in compensation and in support kind of ways than staff positions on average, you can't just eliminate an academic program overnight. It takes a lot of time, and compared to staff and administrative supports, I think that's a big difference, and that's certainly not lost on the university leaders and the board. I want to make sure that remains clear and at the front of those minds to the Panthers members. So with that, I would invite a larger discussion here. If people have ideas about how to more efficiently collect these perspectives and opinions that we're kind of looking for, I'm open to that. I guess in my mind, having a document like this that's been shared across our group is a way to do that. But again, I'm open to any other kind of forms and suggestions and approaches over the next. Like I said, we got that email that was, I think is attached here. We got that email from Vice President White a week ago. Yeah, no, it hasn't been long, and you know, it is true that Faculty Alliance was able to provide feedback very quickly. You know, they actually submitted their consolidated feedback before the Board of Regents meeting last week. You know, we weren't able to do it, but I think that's okay because again, there was additional details asked the meeting from President Johnson that I think can be relevant and that can also affect, I think, our responses here and maybe make them easier and more direct. So with that, like I said, I'd like to turn it over to your thoughts and questions and stuff. Sue.
I just have one comment
So I feel free. I think that having some time and being able to spend some time with the review areas on your own and providing your own kind of individual perspective is great. But we also have some time to discuss any of the sort of currently on the table review areas, any of those phase two areas in some level of detail. And I certainly don't want to get bogged down in stuff. But if people have questions or particular thoughts about how the university has interpreted those so far through those options reports, the review teams, and then also the president's most recent kind of responses and leaning positions. That's open for discussion here too. Just make sure that we have engagement online if there's desire for, if there's appetite for that.
I'd like to hear from people who are more knowledgeable about some of these areas than I am about what they think about the different options offered.
Mm. Yes, Dan. Yeah, sure. If you just want to pull it up. Just to kind of remind people where it's at and encourage people to engage with it. Yes, yeah, exactly. Just this.
We're getting some good ground truth in today's meeting regarding our application of technology. That's good. Yeah, good. So, yeah, again, here's the document. I haven't been able to keep good track of exactly how much engagement it's gotten, but I hope that it's useful. I hope that, this has captured some of the discussions that we've had in this group so far, as well as staff alliance system-wide. We can be as particular about our feedback as we want. Again, because of the diversity of experience and perspective here, it might sometimes be hard to drill down into which specific options are ones that we either recommend or want to avoid. But at least some principles and some focus, some emphasis, ways that we think the president or the board should interpret the review team's options. I think that those are totally appropriate approaches for us to take. So,
and I would ask you to be our model experts in these areas. If one of the areas you work in falls under this review, please go in and read that portion and try to provide some feedback. I know that I added to the part that affected my unit. There's just so many details that we couldn't possibly know if it's outside of scope. So.
Okay. So I guess what I would propose is to keep this feedback form open for this week. Okay, so I'd like to continue to solicit folks' input into this document through Friday. And so again, yeah, like Samara said, if you've got expertise, if you've got knowledge about any of these review areas, please take the time to go in and just kind of add it because it will be important. And when we submit our staff governance response, it will be based in a very concentrated way on individual staff reps input.
And will you share this with
us? Just one.
Okay. I'm not sure.
Make sure it's there for you. I'm not sure. We're not helping.
Okay. All right. Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, apologies if that was an oversight. It was my presumption that it went out. If you don't have it now, make sure and let us know. Okay. I continue to encourage people to bring up, if people have thoughts throughout the rest of the meeting. All right, yeah, so Jane, I see your response there, and Chris and Melissa too, so those are well taken. Okay, great. So let's move on, and if people have thoughts, if they need some time to kind of process some of that stuff, it's fine to revisit that before the end of the meeting. But for now, let's move on. Item D, I think as I mentioned last time, remains on our unfinished business until there's another discussion of that at the board. Right? The last time that single accreditation came up, it was in reference to our interim chancellor's, well, it was before he was chancellor here, he was a sort of a student acting as a special consultant to the university, provide a pretty robust and full featured reports exploring the option of single accreditation and, recommended, I think, pretty clearly against it. So at that point in time, the Board of Regents took it off they didn't take it off the table, but they said they were going to postpone any decisions about whether they wanted to pursue single accreditation, which effectively meant at the time that it was not something we were pursuing, but they have yet to say that it's not an option. So I think it will remain
on our unfinished business until that happens. It might be a while. Budget update, as Kari noted, there have been some developments last week. We heard, you know, for the first time proposals from both the House and the Senate. You know, House clearly seems more friendly to the governor's proposal, and I think that there have been efforts on the part, if you read Capitol Report, the last couple of them, I think there have been efforts on the House side to actually bring their budget proposal for the university up to closer to the Regents level of 341 than the governor's 325. So, you know, I don't know how much appetite there is for that, how much room they think they can actually get there. But if there's any increase, I mean, of course, I'm not sure if anybody expects the Senate to come in at anything close to what the Board of Regents proposed. I think there's still hope that we can identify enough support to get it closer to the governor's proposal. But I think those that are the most kind of aware and familiar with the Senate expect their proposal number to be lower than the House. And so whatever room, you know, whatever space there is between the House and the Senate proposals, I guess the bigger that space is on the high side, the more likely it is to find some place closer to what I think most people hope will be the governor's kind of number. But of course, as she said, even if we are at that flat number budget-wise, that is effectively a cut because there are increases in fixed costs and probably some other contract numbers that affect that. Any other thoughts or questions about budget? I think I've said this before, but I want to make sure everybody gets that Capitol Report from Miles Baker, who's the university's lobbyist in Juneau. I think that's usually pretty clear and you know, complex discussion of what's going on. Okay. Item F, furlough and leave accrual. As I mentioned, that has full support from this group here. I shouldn't say, but it has support from this group here, and it's currently with Staff Alliance. I think that, as I said before, I anticipate that that will be supported by Alliance, but we have yet to vote on it as a group. So that will happen this time. We were challenged agenda time wise in our last meeting. The item G, this is another item that came initially through advocacy. It was initially proposed by our last interim chancellor, Mike Powers, as something that could be either wrapped up into or a supplementary kind of component to the volunteer day. You know, I don't know how much, I mean, it's obviously gotten even more challenging, I think, especially for staff people, as I mentioned earlier. So I don't know how much appetite there is for, like, a focused, an additional focused and targeted campaign for contributions from staff members. I guess I am a little bit dubious about that. But one component of this city initiative that did seem like it would make sense if there's capacity for it is to just kind of keep track of all of the ways outside of our employment that UAF employees give back to the university, because I think that there's a lot of them, including time, including energy, including charitable contributions that are already happening in many different ways. So so I think that this is an item that just was in my mind, was targeted toward some kind of tracking element that we could use to report and highlight how much employees and staff members in particular contribute to the well-being of the university outside of their jobs.
I think it's very easy to get off the foundation the whole report of employee giving to the university. I know that the UA has a very robust employee giving program back to the university, and UAS used to have one. I was just about an office, and we decided to put an end to that temporarily with the budget issues. We didn't feel right about asking employees to get back during that time, but a lot of employees get back a lot. Because I used to work with those numbers a lot, so I'd be curious to see what they're where they're at right now, because I think we'd all be I think it would be sort of heartwarming to see how many scholarships the staff gives to in all sorts of different areas of the campus. So if someone would like to take the lead on that, I'm sure you could just directly contact the foundation, and we could just fill a data request, and we could pull those numbers. So that might be a good project for someone if they're looking for one.
Yeah, I mean, I think Kara, maybe that's something for advocacy if there's any interest in if you agree with why. Totally. Okay. Any thoughts or questions about that? Okay. So, item H, we do have need for chair or co-chairs for the staff affairs committee. Terrific. Thank you. That's great. Anybody else? Great. You got that? Okay. For new business, we'll move on. We actually have a schedule now, so that's great. We have upcoming, this is an annual award, the Outstanding Staff Council Achievement Award. All right, nominations are open for that throughout the month of March. Nicole has included a link to the nomination form. It's available online. I would note that officers are exempt from consideration, but everybody else on staff council is eligible. So we just encourage everybody to do some thinking, and please don't be shy in nominating any of your peers here. I know that we've had some terrific work in our committees and elsewhere on behalf of staff council over the last year. So. I hope that we can have a number of good nominations. Happy about that. Thoughts or questions? Okay. In May, we will have elections for new officers for staff council. Opening the nominations occurred right now. Please feel free to contact Nicole with any nominations you have. You can make nominations on the floor, okay? Either at today's meeting now or any time between now and our May staff council meeting. The nomination period, like I said, is open until then and including at that meeting. So please, if you are interested, you can self-nominate. Okay? So please consider running for president or vice president of staff council. Again, I think that Nicole will be the same.
Yeah, and I've got a strong
enough
on my page.
Yeah. Okay. So there will also be a nomination form. So please consider that. I would say from personal experience, it's a fulfilling and worthwhile job. I think that I've gotten a lot out of it in terms of just getting to meet and getting to know people from across the university, staff people from across the university, as a communicator, I think it's a really good and important challenge just a really good and positive experience. I think it has made me feel great about working for UAF and seeing all the terrific work that goes on both in the leadership kind of offices and also just all around the university. So, recommend it. Thoughts or questions about that? Okay, great.
we will move then into internal committee reports.
I didn't mean to skip over that.
Sorry, man. Committee reports. I would just note that I appreciate seeing the new format of the reports. I think it makes them, the standardized format, I think that it makes them easier to kind of parse and read in the report. So thanks to everybody that was involved in that process. So we have reports from elections, from M&R, from rural affairs, and from advocacy. I'll start with elections. Jessica, anything you'd like to add or highlight in the committee's report?
So, in the executive session, we talked about the great new working instead of our existing system, because our existing system requires a lot of coding experience, at least for the theory of implementing what we do. And so, we're learning what works and trying to figure out if it's the right direction to go. And so, I would expect that we'll probably have some more discussion in the future for the larger staff on the system to make sure we manage the approach and what it is in general.
Great. Any questions? Okay. Thanks. So, Matthew, you mentioned a little bit about M&R, but is there anything else you'd like to highlight? Or?
Sure. So, we will be doing that. The university is again fixture each representative has the proper number of employees under them, and do the redistribution in the spring prior to next fall election, because we're looking at fall a busy time of the spring and push through. And we just defined the selection that we continue in TKL to define units under which employees access those units, so that makes it in there. We also doing a review of comparing our bylaws to our sister institutions, bylaws, other staff councils, and then we use all staff alliance and other regions, and just trying to look to see if we're missing anything or if we want to tweak anything that groups together is not in there. So, always being kind of crazy, it doesn't align with another entity, especially for a region. Had some issues with the equal opportunity statements and affirmative action, so we don't tend to that all of these people. And then, oh, orientation. So we talked with the executive board yesterday about orientation for new members and how we want to take that on as a committee to develop work with the volunteers and have to work out volunteers we have, work out an education plan that involves, you know, actually some document information from year to year. And then the committee itself will take more of an active role of running it on the day of, so that it's not just on the burden of the president and the vice president, the admin assistant, so that there's just more continuity with orientation and to kind of shift it over the years and what it looks like. So the committee is taking that on as well.
Terrific. Yeah, thanks. I would say personally, that's much appreciated.
It also occurs to me, Matthew, that it
would be appropriate, I think, for me to chair or at least direct, I think, the committee to review the President Johnson's presentation to the board regarding shared governance, because we think that there's some relevant ways of justifying and framing the way that he and the board might be thinking about shared governance in general.
Okay, great. Any thoughts or questions for Matthew?
Move on to rural affairs.
Chris, I'm not sure about if we've gotten our audio issues resolved. Maybe if you want to try again.
Yeah, I don't know. I regret that the sound still isn't coming through from our online folks. So,
try again, Chris. It's not working.
Yeah. So, yeah. Oh, yeah. So that's interesting. So the other folks. Oh, wait a minute. I think we might have got you.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Terrific.
Okay. Okay. I think a little bit of feedback, but as long as you guys can hear me, okay.
Yeah, I think we're fine here. Sorry if there's echoing and stuff.
No, that's okay. I just wanted to be a little bit. I thought it's not in there. Alright. I just wanted to touch on a couple of questions real quick. I gotta say, I'm really excited to do a thing right now. We are filling out the inbox, and I was expected to continue. People, we started getting people opening up to us with concerns and things and things that they can use to assist in this. I'd like to point out something in particular here real quickly. We channeled and then submitted a rural campus funding document that showed the cuts, the percentage of our cuts that occurred in the past few years. And by creating a consent, so we pushed that into the executive board to look into our last meeting. And we'll continue to stay on top of that and communicate those concerns. The other one that is a pretty big deal, the Stewart Marine Center addressed those concerns about the Arleigh to Kodiak cruise. I'm happy to say that we were able to have a meeting with stakeholders for DBOS and the Mr. Kodiak. We pushed a tentative information to the executive board. I'd like to have that solidified in the next month or so, so that we can have a formal report to them to move on to the business change. Well, I think that's pretty confusing. Okay. On the note, we have one of the that will be speaking with us on Wednesday at 2 o'clock. And she's the director of the Chuck Cheese campus. That meeting was from 2 to 3. Anyone who's interested in joining us is more than welcome to. Any questions, please let me know. Thank you.
Thanks, Chris. I apologize again for the audio issues. Like I said, the system in here, I'm not sure if we've made reference to this for the online folks, but the system in here has been significantly revised over the past couple of months. So we're dealing with a lot of new tools and I guess just troubleshooting with those. So I regret that and I apologize for it. We'll hopefully get it worked out before our next meeting. I understand. Okay, I appreciate those items, those highlights. Okay, any questions for Chris? I did. So yeah, so I would just highlight for the folks in the room and online. Jane gave us some thoughts and indications about staff affairs. Might be hard for some of the people in the other room. So just read it. She said Jane told the staff affairs tried to meet in February, but she was sick and there were technical issues for the people present. The members who called in went over what we've been working on, but maybe he called us or announced the report. Okay, no problem. I understand if there are any other thoughts or questions for Jane or from other staff affairs folks. Okay. And then advocacy, Kara, do you want to add or highlight anything from the report?
The most recent addition, we've actually been approached by the committee that planned staff appreciation day. Oh. And it kind of looks like for a minute they might be thinking from the staff educational session, but we've kind of formed a subcommittee, so we are hoping to get all of that put together early and have them scheduled for the May staff appreciation.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, I know that there's, at least from my perspective, I really appreciate those events and those opportunities. And I think that the last couple of years, it's actually been, there's been bigger and broader for the station. So, that's great. Yeah, I appreciate your advocacy. Yeah. We'll check into that, make sure the announcement goes out about probably time to start promoting that. Getting people early. Okay. We also have the Carol and Samson committee. Any updates there?
I was on the committee, Susan
is
able to
because
they did
for
that recommendation.
Okay. I thought so, yeah. I just wanted to make sure. Okay. Okay. Yeah, Terry, sorry. You can go
to it. Yes, the committee met for the staff to make the town award, and we made our recommendation as well. And we're just waiting for the nomination packet to arrive, and then we'll do the same thing for the shelter.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks.
Our staff appreciation day is coming.
Sure. May 17th? Yeah. Okay. Thanks, Kara. Thanks for checking on that. Okay. Let's see. I think. We have, I just highlight that we have a report from the General Inclusive Work Group on behalf of Matthew and China. Thank you for that. Encourage people to review it. Alright, so with that, I would like to move into announcements. If anybody has any announcements you'd like to make folks aware of, now's the time. Anybody on that? Okay. Well, thanks for that. And I guess if nobody has anything, I would offer one more opportunity in case anybody has any particular questions about that pathways process and, you know, targeting feedback from our group to that document. Open it up for any other questions or comments about that. Just again to reiterate, we'll keep that open from, you know, from today until Friday, and then we'll try and pull from that information to characterize and frame our larger lines. Okay, all right. I don't know if people didn't hear that, but there, Nicole has shared, I think she said the second document is the correct one. So make sure you have access to that, and if you don't have access to it, please let us know. Yes, we can write that.
The first one I shared was basically the minutes of draft list that I typed in now.
Yeah.
So you won't be able to read it.
Yeah, so there's one from 10.6 that's UAF Staff Council Strategic Pathways. The name of the document should make it clear.
But that's not the link that we've been getting
right. Correct. Okay. Any other questions or thoughts? All right. Great. Well, then we'll move into a roundtable discussion. Yeah, we'll stop recording.